The scripture reading today is 2 Kings chapter 4, 8 through 10. Now there came a day when Elisha passed over Shunem, where there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he returned there to eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. Please let us make a little walled upper chamber, and let us set a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. And it shall be, when he comes to us, that he can turn in there."
All right. Thank you, Cooper, for that reading. And good morning, church. Have some welcome.
And now, I'm too loud. Let's try that one. Is that better? Okay, great. Now, I think I can hear myself now, which, you know, most preachers can't hear themselves talk because they talk so much. Oh, by the way, we have a great lunch next door, so I hope you're hungry, because if you're not, it's going to be a long sermon. So you're like, brace yourself. Somebody, I heard a click. Somebody put their seatbelt on. So if you're visiting for the first time, know that you are welcome. We're glad that you're here. We have a welcome bag for you, and in that welcome bag, there's a book that says, "We're glad you're here." We hope that you'll read it, because we think you'll love it here. And we want this to be a place that you will call your church home. We also want you to read that book over the next 6 days and give us a second chance next week and come back, because we're glad to have you again. And certainly if you all have Bible questions, any of you can contact Keith or I at any time. We're happy to study the Bible with you and pray with you so that you can be stronger in your faith if you're not a Christian, so you can become a Christian. And of course, to deepen our knowledge of the Word so that we can be closer with God and more in tune with what He says. If you will, go ahead and take out your device that you use, whether it's your phone or your tablet. I hope nobody brought their computer. It's kind of hard to use it in a pew. If you'll look up on the wall, and you'll take a minute and open up the website. It's ASR, right, Alma School Road, COC, Church of Christ, ASRCOC.faithlifesites.com. Now you can Google that. Just Google ASRCOC.faithlife, just like it sounds, and it'll pop up and you can click on that link, or you can put the whole link in yourself in the browser bar, the URL bar. Click on that for a second, and then as you can see on the screen, you'll see a menu, top menu. And underneath the top menu where it says Connect, click on Bulletins for a second. Okay, when you're there, just say Amen. You getting there? Okay. As you can see, underneath those bulletins, there's a list there. Click on today's bulletin. What we call in Faith Life a bulletin is the slideshow that you see. I just put a sample snap of today's slideshow. So you could see, or I think it was last week's, that you could see what it looks like. And as you scroll through those slides, for those of you that are at home, you can just open a device and you can follow along on the slides if you would like, so that you can be singing with us and you can be participating at home just as though you were here. And certainly you can follow the slides during the lesson. And I put this example up here. They'll be readable on your device. The snapshot up here might look a little small compared to what you see on your screen. But you can go ahead and follow along. And if you also use the Faith Life app or the Faith Life Bible Study app or Logos, you get the added benefit that after, as you follow our service, because when we go live, when you see this pop up in the morning for our worship, we are actually broadcasting an internet signal, and with your app, you can follow the scriptures by just tapping on that at the bottom of your app. You'll see it pop up. If you need help with that, let me know. I'm happy. It takes about 90 seconds to walk you through that and show you how that works so that you can follow the service. And if you're at home, you'll want to do that so that you can follow the scriptures as we're going through the lesson without having to flip through them. Although you're certainly welcome to try to tap through that, but it's easier just to tap that link there that pops up during the service. Now, in the bulletin, I know some of you are looking at that, and feel free to scroll through that. If you go all the way to the bottom of that slideshow as you flick through that, we have a digital card at the bottom. Now, to become a part of our Faith Life group, it is a closed group. You must be invited. I do not batch add anybody. And so there are like around 16 or 18 members right now. We certainly want to expand that. We also do have some followers. But if you want to be a part of that, you have to ask, because we don't just add. It's a private group. It's a closed group. But you're certainly welcome to be a part of that group. And the reason why is, just like you saw the calendar things that scroll through on the pre-service loops or the post-service loop at the end, those are things that as they come up, you can add them to your calendar as you choose. Also, with your one login, which the information here, your email, your cell phone number, and your name is all we need to add you to the group. So listen, those of you that are concerned about privacy, how many of you have a cell phone? How many of you have an insurance card? How many of you pay a bill online or check your bank account? Okay, yeah, you've already given more information on the internet than we need to add you to our group. And then each account is individual. You also get access to the Logos Bible Study app for free. You can download it on your computer or your device, whatever you want to do. Each person gets their own copy once they're added to the group, and you're welcome to use that. Like any fish, pick out the bones, look for the good. There's a lot of Bibles in there, though, if you like to read different versions. And individual accounts control their own privacy. So you go into your settings, you decide what you share or what you don't share, and you can set that. There's several items. There's a bunch of items that you can choose what you prefer to share with the group or not, and that's up to you individually. So if you're concerned about privacy or security, they use military-grade security. We're a closed group, and you choose what you want to share with the rest of the group. And we want to start using this more to communicate calendar events, to communicate small group studies, things that are going on as we expand and get back into the routine of church and more members return. So please, if you're not a member, see me, let me know, or just scroll to the bottom and pop that in, and I'll get that and get you added to that group. And if you need that website, as we get into our study, it's right there on the wall for you to write down. Now, one last quick thing is, the more you Google asrcoc.faithlife, and the more we naturally raise in the rankings, the more individuals outside, as they're searching for God, Bible, Jesus, church, counseling, problems, things that are related to the Bible in this area, the more they're able to see us as an option. And if you go to Google My Business, give us a positive review, because that is a huge positive boost for us. So as more people search, as more people come out of the woodwork from all of this COVID mess, they're going to need the love that we have and the love that God has for them. And we want them to be able to find us. And that's a natural way they can find us that doesn't cost us anything. It's a free rankings. All right, so how many of you, and I'll bet you know this answer already, you can remember an experience that was so vivid. It's one that you were invited to, right? You got an invitation. Maybe it was maybe it was a calendar invite, maybe it was a card, maybe it was a phone call, an email, but something that was you were invited to, and you were so excited about that you just really dude it up. You knew this was going to be special, and it was so special that it impressed you, and you can remember it. You have that vision in your mind? Now, don't go scrolling through your phone through your pictures. I looked at my photos app. I have like 15,000 photos. So don't get lost in that, because I know, I'm sure we could. But I'll bet, I will bet that you don't even need to look up the pictures, because that experience was so vivid that you could tell from memory the sights, the sounds, the smell, the place, the reason, the beginning, the middle, the end. You could tell that story just like it was yesterday and you were right there. Do y'all have that? And you remember it because it was a place of welcome. Something that you were invited to, that you wanted to do, and when you got there, you were welcomed to be there. In the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it says, "And I heard something like a sound of the great multitude, like the sound of roar, the rushing of waters, or the peals of thunder as it cracks. And these people were shouting, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready.'" Who's the bride, brethren? The church. "Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear," which was this linen was the righteous acts of God's holy people. "Then the angel said to me," and wouldn't you love to hear this? Just like getting that invitation in the mail. Write this, right? "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." Wouldn't you love to get an invitation like that? You know, we talk about when you fall in love, right? You see stars, right? You hear, you know, the everything in the world and time stops. You're in love. Here it is, the people of God, about to spend time with God, feasting at the table of the Lamb. And here the writer is saying, write this down, blessed are you who are invited. And how many people is God inviting, really? He's inviting everybody. Now, I don't mean everybody will come. I don't mean that everybody will be accepted, because we can't accept sin. I get that. But here you see in Scripture the invitation to God's people, and really, ultimately, spread out to the world, to those that will avail themselves in obedience to what God teaches, that blessed time when we'll be together with our Lord forever. Because truly, all are welcome. And this great, big, huge feast that we're invited to, we get to join in the festivities. We get to praise God for eternity. We get to be in a place where there is no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. And because of that, it will be a joyous occasion. And not just because we won't be in pain anymore, and I hope my heavenly body looks better than this. It'll be because we'll be with our Lord. We'll be with the one whom we love. We'll be with those who have loved God, who have called upon Him from a true heart, who have obeyed the gospel to the best of their ability, doing what was commanded, and they get the same promise, the same reward as all of us. Whether you came early or you came late, you get to join, and all are welcome. And it takes work. Remember this story in Matthew 25. This is one of my favorite stories. Jesus talks about this type of welcome, but it comes with a task attached to it, right? We have a job to do while we are here on this earth, and that job is to share the gospel message with as many people as possible, to love as many people into the fold, to bring as many people along with us on our journey as we walk that straight and narrow path to heaven.
in all the many ways that you can think of. And so you know the master, you know this story well. The master comes and he calls three of his servants together. I'm going away for a while, but I got a job for you to do. And he calls the first one up and he hands him 5 talents. 5 talents, by the way, is 80 years worth of wages. How many of you have made 80 years worth of wages? Yeah. You know the old saying about, they used to make fun of Bill Gates saying, if he dropped a $100 bill, he wouldn't bend over to pick it up because he'd make $1,000 in the time he bent over to get it back in his pocket. I don't have that ability. I know God has, but here he hands this servant. He says, here's 80 years worth of wages. A denarii was a day's wage. A talent was about 6,000. You do the math. You get the point. He calls up the second one and he says, here's 32 years worth of wages, right? 2 talents. Go do something with it. And he calls up that third one, and he says, well, here's 1. Go do something with it. And you know how that went. He calls them all back and says, all right, how'd you do? And I don't know how long he was gone, a year, 10 years, one month, I don't know. But he was gone long enough that they could do something with that investment that God had given them, that the master gave to them. And he says, and then the first one comes up, he says, look, I got good news for you. You gave me 5 talents, I doubled your money. And he hands him 5 more talents. And what does the master say to this one? Oh, you are good, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. And here's the welcome, church. Enter into the joy of your master. He calls up the second guy. He's got 2 talents. And the second guy comes up and says, hey, I got good news for you, man. Got a good deal. Turns out I was able to flip that. And look, here's 2 more. And what does the master say to that person? He says, hey, good job. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. And here's the welcome, brethren. Enter into what? The joy of your master. Isn't that the words you want Jesus to say to you? Don't we all want to hear Jesus say, thou good and faithful servant, you've been faithful with the few things I've given you. Come and enter into the joy of your master. But there was one more character, you know the story well, and he comes in and he says, as he's dusting the dirt off, what was different about this? Because it wasn't the amount of money, was it? I mean, some of you have a lot of money, I know, and some of you don't, right? That's just a fact of life. God says, I'll have favor on favor and on mercy whom I'll have mercy. God determines. But we have our effort, certainly. We have talents he's given us. But what was wrong with this last guy? I think the problem was, and I see this in the church a lot, he was afraid. And instead of letting his fear of the master drive him to do something good, he let his fear of the potential of failure and of punishment and of trouble cause him to withdraw and hide. Right? He buries the talent, right? Well, at least I won't lose it. You're going to lose more than that. And the challenge for this guy, in his fear, he's thinking, man, I don't want to mess up, right? How many of us are living in fear like that? We live in such a way as the big bad virus is going to get us. We live in fear because of whatever issue we've got before us, whether it's our aches and our pains, our relationship trials, whatever it is, but we let fear dominate
rather than let God's love and our fear of Him drive us to do the good that we know God wants us to do. In the face of much opposition, and I guarantee you today there is a much more hostile environment out there in the world than there was when I was a little kid. Maybe even when you were a little kid. And the culture is decidedly moving against Christianity and away from Christianity rather than be influenced by that. And that's largely in part on us. Because rather than stepping out in boldness and investing in the future, we kind of have held ourselves in reserve or arrogance or whatever you want to call it. And instead of becoming the place that's so welcome, we're often fearful when someone who doesn't fit the mold, because most churches are socioeconomically related. People that make about the same money, work in about the same general level of professions, live in about the same neighborhoods. And when somebody doesn't fit that model, all of a sudden they get judged. And are we surprised when they walk out the door? Again, I'm not saying we accept everything. We don't accept sin. But I would certainly rather have a sinner who's pricked in their heart, who is struggling with whatever their issue is, sitting in the back pew listening to a sermon, trying to find something to reach that heart, to prick it, to change that person's life, so they can face Jesus and have the same welcome that you and I want to enjoy. Because the truth of the matter is, don't we want everyone to go to heaven? Don't we want our children and our grandchildren to go to heaven? This is what Jesus said, or excuse me, the Master said to that servant. I'm not sure if it's changing anymore. You might want to flip over one slide. But the Master answered and said, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew I reap where I did not sow, gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have at least put my money in the bank. When I came back, I'd at least have interest. Might not be much, but I'd have something. Therefore, take the talent that this one has and give it to the one with 10. For everybody who has, more shall be given. He who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And throw out that worthless slave into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." Brethren, it wasn't the amount of money, right? It wasn't the amount of money. And those of you that think that because his one talent was taken away was because if you're successful that somehow you're more favorable with God, you've misinterpreted that parable. It has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with talent. And all of us have talent to welcome other people, to welcome sinners into the church. But sometimes I think we act like, oh no, not you again. It's the next slide. This one's kind of stuck right now up here. The one talent man didn't lose his position because of the talent. He didn't lose his life because other people were more successful. He lost his life because he lived in fear, he lived in laziness, and that kind of wickedness cannot be tolerated. There's no room in the Lord's church for laziness, for wickedness, for things that are just fearful rather than living in love. So many people have chosen to hide their talents. And people outside, remember, God never sends anybody to hell. People choose hell because they don't choose to obey God. And if we don't tell them, if we don't warn them, if we don't stand on the ramparts like Ezekiel was told, if we don't go out and we speak to people that we know may never hear, may never listen, may never obey, but we don't tell them, that's on us. It's not on others. And sometimes we can make people feel unwelcome because we go, it's the 491st time, that's it. I've had, right? You ever hear your mom say that? We shouldn't show fear instead of confidence. We need to sow confidence in our master and make people feel welcome, because, brethren, all are welcome. Amen. Now, I'll close with this short story. Don't worry, it'll get it gets even better. I know that there are a lot of people out here hurting. We've been touched by this terrible virus and the politicization of it and all the things that have happened. I know lots of people have died. I know lots of people that have suffered economically. They've lost their job, their businesses. We were up in Anthem the other day, and every store was closed except the anchor stores you see. Blew my mind. I feel terrible for those people. I really hope that we can get back to work and get back to economic, you know, prosperity. I really do. But I think we have work on ourselves to do to make this place more welcoming for other people. Our hope is that any person sitting here will hear that whatever your struggle is, we love you, we want to support you and help you. If it's to get out of a sin, if it's to get right with God, we want to be there for you. If it is to move down the path and deepen your knowledge, we want to study with you. If it's something you want us to pray about, if it's a toxic relationship, if it, whatever the barrier is, we want you to know Jesus and know that God will help you overcome, because we know that we are more than conquerors. All are welcome, and you can change because Jesus can help you change. And that brings us to the Shunammite story, and I love this story. I'll close. I'll keep it quick. Remember, the Shunammites were part of the tribe of Issachar, and these guys are described in Scripture as men of mighty valor and wisdom, meaning they knew Scripture and they were strong warriors. And you have this character, Elisha, who comes out and he's traveling, right, as he's doing his job as the prophet after Elijah. And he was eating, this Shunammite woman who was married to one of these strong warrior poets, to coin a phrase. And she says, you know what? This is a man of God. We need to do something for this man of God. We need to take care of him. He's traveling. He's weary. I've got an idea. Let's build him a guest room. This is where you and I get the idea of a guest room. How many of you grew up knowing you had to have a guest room in your house? I have traveled thousands of miles. I have stayed in more guest rooms than I have hotel rooms. And I know that practice is kind of going by the wayside as people are more fearful or whatever the reasons. But I can tell you that this is where we get the idea of welcome. Because not only did he stop and eat with them, she talks to her husband and says, you know what, we need to get him a room. So they take that flat part of their roof and they build a little room for him and put a bed in there and put a chair and they put a desk and they put a lamp so he can read. And when he comes, he's got a room. It was a place of welcome, a place of invitation, a place where he knew, Elisha knew, he could rest and be comfortable, be cared for, and be refreshed to tackle the tasks the Lord brought to him to take care of. He knew that this was a place of welcome. You know, and really, honestly, meeting in people's homes is just a better life than a hotel life. Because you can stay up to the wee hours of the morning and you can sit there and you can have conversations and talk about the Bible and get to know each other. And you realize something, brethren. You realize when you meet somebody in their own home and you eat their food and you participate together, that you have a lot in common. And on the next slide, you see this, right? All are welcome. It's a way, it's a place where you are a part of the family. Why? Because we share in common so many things. We share a unity, brethren, that we need to keep. And if it's one thing the last year has done, it has created a lot of division. And they used something that we're all afraid of. Everybody's afraid of getting sick and dying. All of us are. I don't care what age you are. But to use that to divide people instead of bringing people back together, that, folks, is sinful. It's time to get back together and fellowship, because we have more in common. We have more in common with our Lord than we should have in common with the world. And fear should be something we banish, because it does not belong here. Fear of the Lord is wise. Fear of the one who can destroy the body and soul is wise, but it's not a lifestyle. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. It's not the end. The end is to fall in love with Jesus, to fall in love with your brethren, to live in unity with them, to do things together, to make this the place that is so warm and inviting that when somebody walks in the doors, it'll be like that kid that looks at the toy store in the window and says, I want to be in there. Or the person that comes to visit you and they see the hearth with the fire burning. I know it's Arizona, there's not a lot of that, but you get the point. I want to be in there. I want to be a part of this. All brethren on the next slide are welcome. I know when we grew up, and I know a lot of people still live like this, they won't stay in hotels until it's like a last dire, like, that has to be a last-ditch effort. And when we traveled as kids, we stopped for gas and the other thing, and we went somewhere. We knew we were staying. And if you're a kid and you've slept on the floor, you know what I'm talking about. Carpet is a lot better than wood, by the way. It's a place of welcome. You knew that. And you'd rather be there. Now on the next slide, you see how Elisha rewards this. He says, you're going to have a kid. And then later on, he raises that son from the dead. I imagine that family went through a lot of turmoil in those few, you know, days or time, whatever that time frame was, a day or two, maybe one day, I don't know. He said, we're going to be pregnant. We had a kid, and now you're just taking him away. What? And of course, Elisha says, come back. And he, you know, brings him back to life, right? Third time's a charm, if you know the story well. Brethren, we need to welcome each other into our homes. We need to welcome our guests. We need to welcome our brethren. It's time to get back together and be unified as one body facing the world. Because Satan would love to divide us. And Jesus said, a house divided against itself will not stand. And if nothing else, we can tell anybody in our circles that God loves them and we love them too. And we want them to have the saving power of Jesus. I had one member that called me this week to say, thank you for the invitation, but I'm just not ready to be around people yet. And I didn't pull out the big stick and whack her over the head or anything. I just said, well, God bless you, and I hope you'll come back and see us soon, because we'd rather have you here with us. Because I know fellowship with the body is certainly much better than watching it on the screen or being isolated. But I get maybe some of you are not ready yet. And so you're at home participating. God bless you. But do know that you're welcome. And anybody who's watching this, if you're visiting and this is your first time, you're welcome. We want you to know that we want you to be here. And it is certainly possible, because with God all things are possible, and your salvation means a whole lot more to us. And I hope it starts to mean more to you if you're not a Christian yet. So brethren, say it with me. All are welcome. And let that be our clarion call to the world. We want you back. We want you in love with the Lord. We want to do everything to help that. So if you're not right with God, if there's something that you need to correct in your life, or if you're not a Christian, the water's ready. We want you to become a Christian. We want to help you start the Christian life well. We want to answer questions. We want to answer doubts and fears, because our God is a God who is all-powerful and almighty, and He loves you. And He sent Jesus to die for the whole world, and that includes you. Because all are welcome here. Just remember, when you meet God, He's going to change you. And that's okay. We want to be closer to Him. Amen?
Amen.
All are welcome. And if you need the prayers of the church or to become a Christian, please come while we stand and sing.